say that, you know, we have a vision of here at the church of having at least 300 adults in regular attendance by the end of this year. And from last month to this month, we grew about 20 people, so we averaged about 176 this last month. And so I believe this month, as everybody continues to invite people to come, if you believe in this church, you believe in what God's doing here, invite a friend to come. If you'll invite someone to come, we'll hit that 300 goal no problem by the end of this year. Amen? So just keep praying about that with us, and we appreciate that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why don't you stand with us? We're going to pray, get into the Word of God today. Father, I want to thank you so very much for this time that we have together. We're grateful, God, that you have opened a door for us to communicate, opened a door for us to hear from heaven, Father God, a way in which we can learn more about you, Father God, and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for this opportunity, God. We open our hearts and say, Father, have your way today. And we give you alone the praise, the honor for all that you'll do. And we thank you for it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Listen, this year, we started a couple of weeks ago. We're doing a series called Doctrines. And God really put it on our heart that from now to the end of this year, we're going to be just teaching on basic fundamental doctrine that we as believers need to know. And so today is going to be the second lesson in the series that we're doing. The first one we talked about God is, and that is the Trinity. And we went through that and we found out that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. One God in three distinct persons. Amen. Equally God, equally with the same attributes. All right? And so we found out that with that in mind, we needed to understand that. But today what we're going to be talking about, at least this week and next week, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of revelation. That is that God speaks. Amen? How many of you want to hear from God? You know, so many people today struggle with this. God just doesn't speak to me. God's never talking to me. Well, I want you to know He is all the time. And through many different avenues. And when we learn how to tap in to God speaking to us, then I tell you, man, I tell you, your life begins to change. But so many people today just don't know, where do I find God speaking to me? Well, we're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be important because God created you and me. Because we are created in the image and the likeness of God, we are created to communicate. We are. We're beings that need to communicate. And God is desiring, that's why He created us in His image and likeness. God desires to communicate with us. But He also wants us to communicate with Him. And so He's going to teach us exactly how He is going to be bringing this forth. So in order to do this, I want to answer a series of questions that I think will help us to understand this whole doctrine of revelation, that is, that God speaks, God reveals Himself to us, all right? So the first question, of course, is obvious. What is revelation? Well, revelation is, by definition, God's means by which He has chosen to reveal Himself to us and to speak to us. That's what revelation basically is. God needs to reveal Himself to us. You say, why is all this important, Pastor? Well, here's why. God is the creator, and you and I are the creation. There is a huge difference between the creator and creation. And I can tell you this, creator is so far above creation that without creator intentionally revealing Himself to us, we could never comprehend who He is or what He has done. It's only because God chooses to reveal Himself to us that we even understand anything about God. And so we need to know how to tap into revelation because we need to know more about who God is. Amen? We need to know what God has done for us. I need to understand the plan of salvation, which I can't if He doesn't reveal what He did through Jesus. And so it's very important, friends, that we understand this because if we don't understand revelation, that leaves us only with one other thing, and that is speculation. Amen? And speculation, let me tell you, is what religion is built on. That's what, you know, if you haven't noticed, I'm not a fan of religion. I'm a fan of a relationship with Jesus. I don't care about religion. I think religion has hurt a lot of people. Religion tries to figure out what God is and who God is. And so because we only have a finite brain, we can only think of God in a certain parameter. And as a result of that, we start putting our own ideas on who God is and how big God is or what God is like. And all of a sudden we build doctrines on this stuff, and it's all speculation. It's nothing that man knows anything about, really. How could you ever know anything about a God who is so great, so wonderful, so far surpassing that He tells us this? He says that you can ask something and I'll do super abundantly above whatever you could think or ask. Can you imagine that? God said, your wildest thought is still too small compared to who I am. How are we ever going to figure a God like that out? We're not. We need Him to reveal to us. And so through the years, what's happened is through speculation, religion and philosophy and man's ideas, we've come up with this kind of picture of who God is. Right? Huh? You got people walking around today and say, well, you see that statue, that's God. Right? Or you see that painting, that's God. You know, let me tell you, you can't think big enough about who God is. So we're going to have to find out how to tap into revelation so God can reveal Himself to us. Amen? So revelation is far more reliable and helpful than speculation, because revelation isn't guessing, it's God speaking. All right? The second question is this: how does God reveal Himself? Well, basically, there's two categories in which God does reveal Himself. One we call general revelation, and the other is called specific revelation. God reveals Himself in these two manners. I want to talk about general revelation first. General revelation works like this. It's God revealing Himself in a non-specific way to cultures or people or nations, just generally. Nothing specific. In other words, it's not God revealing Himself as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God born flesh, made man. That's not general revelation. That's specific revelation. But general revelation is when we can get a concept of who God might be just generally through lots of different ways, and I want to share some of those with you right now. One way is what we'll find just through creation. Creation itself will reveal to us who God is. There's some scriptures in your notes. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And they knew the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse not knowing God. So that's general revelation. General revelation is that when you sit outside and you watch this magnificent, beautiful sunset, that is something bigger than man. Man didn't create that. That points us to a God. You know, someone said that creation is so magnificent, so wonderful, so glorious, that the one who created it has to be someone wonderful, glorious, and magnificent. Someone has to be more intelligent than man. And we know that that person is God. Through everything God created, He's revealing His character, His nature. He's revealing to us, people that don't know anything about God, He'll reveal to us just by what He created that there's something out there bigger than you and me. Amen. Amen. We can't help but see it. And He says that, and people all the time will ask this question: what if someone never had Jesus preach to them? How are they going to know anything about God? The Bible says general revelation is that God will show you just through what He's created. Amen. The problem with general revelation is if you just leave it at general revelation, then you add speculation to general revelation. People start speculating, okay, well, God is this huge tree over here, and we're going to worship this tree because that must be God, or some image of trying to represent God. So we got to go beyond general revelation. But general revelation is the fact that you can see God just in creation. His power, His attributes, right? And then Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So just the heavens itself reveal how glorious God is. Amen? You ever been outside and maybe you've been camping somewhere, especially if you're up in the mountains and that? And you know, I can remember those days of camping. I don't do that anymore. Now I need a 5-star hotel and a nice bed. But back in the day when I didn't mind camping, I'd go outside and, you know, you'd get out there and at night when there was a full moon, you think someone turned the light on in the campsite. It lit the whole campsite up, right? You'd go outside, you'd look, and the stars would be so numerous you couldn't even count them in the sky. It's just a magnificent thing. Ever been out on a cruise, out in the ocean? Same kind of thing. You look outside, it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know there were that many stars out. Points to the glory of God. Amen? The second category here of this kind of general revelation is just what we call through providence or external circumstances that God not only made the world, but also continues to rule over it. And we see that in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, where it says, "Yet He has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." You see, what this scripture is telling us is that just through God, just through the fact that there are seasons, just through the fact that rain comes and waters this planet and crops grow, you can put a seed in the ground, you can't make it grow. God does that. It grows when you water it and nurture it and take care of it. And it produces fruit and produces vegetables, whatever it is, it produces after its own kind. And God is doing that. And the Bible is telling us that we can look out there and we can see this stuff and realize that something bigger than us is taking care of us. Amen. Amen. Yes. We see God's care for us, His loving care for us, just through the fact that we have seasons and rain and all these things that take place to keep us alive on this planet. Some things are going on here that is bigger than us, and we need to know that God is sovereign and ruling over this earth. Amen? He reveals that to us just by those kinds of things. And the third category that we see is that God has implanted in every person that He has made in His image and likeness a conscience. People have a conscience. And your conscience, you know, you hear the old saying, let your conscience be your guide. Well, there's some truth to that. But, you know, someone that has a hard heart better not let their conscience be their guide. Amen? But as a believer, you could do that. And I tell you what, you can see God in this because everyone at some point in their life, I just don't believe somebody is just born naturally evil. I don't believe that. Amen? I think people become a product of the environment that they're in, and they can be in an evil environment and become evil. But I believe that people are born genuine with a right heart. And you see it all the time. There's people that don't know anything about God. They don't go to church. They don't read a Bible. And they'll tell you, you know what? That's wrong. They have values that are promoted from Scripture. Don't kill that person. That's not right. You know, you shouldn't take advantage of that homeless person. You hear people say things like that. Why is that? Because of their conscience. Right? It's something that reminds us of the fact that God has made us in His image and His likeness, and that wrong is wrong and evil is evil. And generally people know that. Reveals us in us of the fact that there is a God who created us. Amen? It says in Romans chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirement of the laws are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Amen? So we see that people all the time, you know, they don't have any Bible knowledge, yet at the same time, they make right choices, right decisions, know right from wrong. And when they do something wrong, they admit it. Their heart bothers them. Even if they don't admit it, their heart bothers them. That shows that we have a conscience, and that conscience is because we are created in God's image and in God's likeness. Amen. The second kind of revelation I want to talk to you about is special revelation. Special revelation is when something very specific is revealed to us. In other words, it means that the information about God is clearer in special revelation than it is in general revelation. You're going to get things that God's going to show you that you need to know that will secure you in Christ that comes through this specific, special revelation. Amen? And so when we talk about this, we can see it, for instance, in this sense. You remember when Joseph, who was betrothed to be married to Mary, and he found out that Mary was pregnant. Remember that? In the Bible, you read about that in Luke? It bothered him, right? And so he, by rights, could have, because once you're betrothed in the Old Testament, those days when you were betrothed to someone, it's as if you were married. It's like a marriage ceremony that you go through. And in order to get away from that person who is betrothed to them has the right to write a bill of divorcement if something like this happened. And in this case, Joseph was contemplating that, and he was out and leaving, and he was getting away from her, and he had a dream. And the Spirit of the Lord revealed to Joseph at this time that Mary did not sleep with somebody else, but that Mary was impregnated by God Himself, and that she was going to be carrying the Son of God and giving birth to the Messiah. God revealed that to Joseph in a dream. Amen? That's very special revelation. Couldn't have known that any other way. And then we see that Mary even had special revelation when the Spirit of God came upon her, spoke to her about being the mother of the Son of God, where she was going to give birth to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we see that also came by special revelation, right? Some of you, you know, have that. My wife kind of gets these dreams. And at first I used to think that she was just, you know, had too much pizza before she went to bed or something, you know. But then after a while, the things that God would show her started coming to pass. And after that happens quite frequently, after then you start saying, that wasn't pizza, that was the Spirit of God. I want to hear what you have to say. See, God doesn't speak to me that way, but He does to her that way. Right? And so God can reveal Himself in numerous ways, and that's one way. Another way that we need to tap into as believers is the fact that Jesus Himself revealed who God is through the life that He lived. Jesus is special revelation. He showed us. He said this. He said, and we'll look at this in a few weeks down the road, but Jesus said this. He said, if you have seen Me, you've seen the Father. Amen? He revealed who God was. He said this, said, I only do the things that I see My Father do, and I only say the things that I hear My Father say. So Jesus' life on the earth is a revelation, revealing of who God is. When you study His life and see how He lived His life, you can begin to see the character and the nature of God. It's a very specific revelation. He shows you by being God, the Son, shows you who the God is, His character, His nature, and His ability, His power, His greatness, His glory, His mercy, and His love. He shows us those things by just who He is, living the life that He lived here on the earth. Amen? That's very special revelation. And then, the one that applies to every one of us is this. The special revelation that we get from God's Word. Amen? Amen? God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is God's inspired, God breathed. Amen? When you study the Word of God, the Word of God brings to us revelation by God's Spirit, who is actually the teacher of the church today, the Holy Spirit. He'll show you things that you cannot know without God revealing it to you. Before I was saved, I used to read the Word all the time. Yeah, before I was saved, you know, I was searching for God. So I probably read through the Bible twice before I ever got saved. I had no knowledge of what I was reading. I'd read it and it made no sense to me. But I just did it thinking that I was trying to earn my salvation, somehow make myself right. So I figured if I read the Bible, that's one way. It wasn't until I really heard that Jesus already died for me and already justified me, already made me, declared me to be righteous if I would just receive Him into as my Lord and Savior. Once I did that, suddenly Scripture started to make sense. All of a sudden I'd read something and lights would come on. You ever have that happen while you're reading the Bible? If you're doing our reading through the Bible in a year, if you're going through that, are lights coming on when you're reading certain things? I hope so, because that's really what it's about. The lights begin to come on. You see something you couldn't have known before. Get to know about God, who He is. He reveals Himself through His Word. And let me tell you what, and we'll get into this but a little bit later in this study, but I want you to know the Word of God is absolutely inspired by God. We believe in that here. We believe all Scripture is inspired by God, both Old Testament and New Testament. Amen. I want to talk to you just about that for a minute today, because I think it's important that we understand that Scripture is God-inspired. So what is Scripture? Well, the word Scripture means writing, and Bible means book. So when we talk about Scripture and Bible, it is a collection or a library of books about God. Reveals who He is. And so as we get into this, you're going to find out that the Scriptures were inspired by over 40 different authors. And if you try to connect 40 different authors to connect a theme, a storyline together, they're never going to be able to coordinate that the way the Bible is coordinated. There's an author bigger than man with this Bible. Amen? And that author is God. He inspired every word to be written. He inspired everything, that every story that was told, every Scripture you find in the Bible. It came by God's inspiration. He inspired somebody to write that. Amen? Now, the Bible is not a historical book in the sense that it's laid out historically that way. It's not. It's not laid out historically. When you look at the Bible, there's books that are collected together. Similar books, Psalms, Proverbs, are collected together. Gospels are collected together about Jesus. The writings to the church are collected together. It's not that this happened and then we find the chronological story all the way through the Bible. That's not the way it's laid out. You have your Old Testament. You have your New Testament. And what happens in the Old Testament, a lot of times people get the mistaken idea because it says Old Testament that that's what it is. It's old. We don't need that anymore. That's the old. We're in the new now. We don't need the old at all. Let me tell you what, if you don't understand the old, you can't ever understand the new, because the New Testament constantly refers back to the Old Testament. Amen. So you don't throw out two-thirds of your Bible. Amen? The Old Testament is very necessary. It speaks about the coming of Jesus. The New Testament talks about the fulfillment of that coming of Jesus and how we as believers are to live our life in relationship to the coming of Jesus. And if we don't understand the old, you're not going to understand the new. Now, I make the statement, and sometimes people misinterpret that, we don't live in the Old Testament, we live in the New Testament, but that doesn't mean we disregard the old. Amen. Today we're living in grace. We're living in the New Testament. That's where we are as a church people today. That's where we get our instruction from. But you can't discount the Old Covenant. We need to study that. We need to know that. And then we also need to know the New. Amen. So you've got to have both, because they work together. I put a lot of statistics in your notes that I'm not going to bore you with this morning. That's why I put them in your notes. You know, how many chapters there are in the Bible and how it's broken up and all that and all the historical stuff. You have that so you can take that and you can study that and get into all that stuff if you really like that kind of stuff. Amen. Some people just like to know when did the chapters come in and why are the chapters there and how many chapters are there. You know, I got that for you. We did the research. You have it. Read it. Enjoy it or don't. Either way, you have it. Praise God. What I want to get into is what do the scriptures have to say about themselves? Now, this is important, and this is why this is important. Because if the scriptures don't tell us that the Word of God is valuable and important, then why should we put any value on it? Right? If we can't prove, if this is really God's inspired Word, then it ought to show us that it's God's inspired word, and it ought to tell us that it's necessary for you and I to study this. Is that not right? Amen. And if we can't find that, then we just have nothing but a book. There's a lot of those out there. There's a lot of books out there. Amen. It was funny, this week we were at my mom's oncologist, and he's been telling us for the last 5 years that we've been going there about how he's writing this book in layman's terms for people to understand cancer and how to relate to cancer and all this stuff. And so he said last time we were there, he said, "Well, I finished my book and I'm going to publish it." And so we got out there with him this week and we were talking about, "Hey, did you get your book published?" He goes, "Yeah, I did. And I took it to Barnes & Noble's. And when I looked around, there was 500 other books just like my book." And so I said, "So what are you going to do?" He said, "So they're probably going to bury all my books with me when I die." Amen. So he said, "I'm writing a different book now." And he said, "What's that?" He says, "Writing a book on health and nutrition and how that applies to cancer and how you can live," which would be a very valuable book. He said, "I'm going to keep it less than 200 pages so people will buy it and read it." I said, "That would be great. Praise God." But see, if the Bible is just another good book, then you can go to Barnes & Noble's and there's 500, 1,000, you know, other good books there. It's got to be more than just a good book. And this is what I like about what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2 says this: "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep my commandments, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Proverbs 30 verses 5 through 6 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar." So what is He saying? He said, this book is so valuable that it, because it's inspired by God, you don't need to add anything to it. It's complete. You understand? We don't need more books. I don't need the Book of Mormon added to the Bible to make sense of things. Amen? He said, don't add to it. And we could say it this way. Another scripture says, the Word of God is not of any private interpretation. I don't have the right just to put my own interpretation on the Word of God. That's where revelation comes in. You've got to know what God is revealing about Him through His Word so that you can understand it, and you should be able to back up any revelation with other scripture. You should have a multitude of scriptures to back up what you say the Bible says. That's why we always give you a lot of scripture. Right. He said, don't add, don't take from. Amen? When God has revealed Himself in a certain way, He said, that's all you need. You can find all there is to know about Me in the Word. You don't need to add to it, and you don't need to take away from it. In other words, if I don't like the way something lays out and I've got to build my doctrine and I've got to change it to say what I want it to say to build my doctrine, you are changing God's Word. You're adding. You don't need to do that. And again, I'm not on any particular religion, but there are those out there that are constantly changing their Bible to match their doctrine. Amen? We're not to do that. This is complete, this Bible. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to take from it. It is complete. What that means is that there are certain things in there that we may not be palatable to us spiritually, but you still got to eat it. Come on now. I don't like all the stuff on love in the Bible, honestly. There's some stuff I read there that slaps me upside my face. Said, "Oh man, why did you have to say that? I was real happy till I knew that. I gotta forgive me. That's my enemy, God. I gotta pray for them. Come on, you know what they did to me?" Huh? But we gotta follow what the Word says, see? We don't add to, we don't take away from. Alright? What else? Well, we're told that the Bible is effective. Isaiah 55 verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God is saying that when I send my word out, guess what? It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. When you get the word of God in your mouth and you speak it, you're speaking God's word, you're sending the word out, it is going to do exactly what God said it is going to do. Not something different. Amen? It's effective. When God's Word goes out, you can bank on the fact that God is not a liar and His Word is going to accomplish what He said it's going to accomplish, and we stand fast on that. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what the circumstance looks like. What did God say? What did God say? Did you send the Word out? Then you have to have enough confidence that God's big enough to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. If not, don't send the Word out. If you don't believe that, don't send it out, because it won't be effective for you. It'll be effective if you believe it. Amen? The Word is perfect. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's Word's perfect. Doesn't need anything else. You believe that, Pastor? You believe it's infallible? Yes. Amen. I do. And yes, we do. Yes. As a church. We do. There's no more things to add to it. This is it. We've got everything God wants us to have right here. It's also a guide for our life. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad that God can illuminate your darkness and the path that you're walking in with His Word? Wherever you are, whatever your lot in life is, whatever you're going through in life, there is a Word for you in the Bible that will help you bring illumination to your situation. Amen. We need that. Amen. God desires to light my path. God does not want me walking in darkness. He does not want me confused. He does not want me blind. He wants me to see. Amen? And He said His Word is going to be that lamp and that light for me. Amen? It'll guide you. The Bible is true. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." People say, what's truth? The Bible. It's the only thing that's truth. Amen. You want to balance everything else out? Balance it out with the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. The Scriptures are to be obeyed. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Amen. Boy, you can't get plainer than that, can you? Just do what it says. Now, you won't always feel like it. Right? I was talking to Chrissy. She's reading a book yesterday. She said, "Man, I'm having a hard time getting through this book because it shares some revealing truth that will cause you to introspectively look at your life and say, you ever heard someone step on your toes in church? Huh? The preaching of the Word's going on and all of a sudden you just feel like the Holy Spirit's just slapping you around a little bit? That ever happened to anybody? Or am I the only one that ever happens to?" I think Pastor Jack says it this way. You ever get punked by God? Amen? You know? I mean, I have. And if you want to grow in God, you will. Amen? But you have to decide. This is not a kind of a feel-good kind of a relationship that, well, I feel like I want to do this today and tomorrow I'll just see what else comes down the road. This is talking about, are you committed? Are you going to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your life? See, if you want to have revelation in your life, you want to have God speaking to you, you want to hear from God, you got to decide, I'm going to do what you say. Amen? Why would God keep speaking to us and we say, I don't want to do that? Nah, not that either. What else you got in there, God? Got anything that, you know, how do I get rich quick, God? That's the one I want to hear. Huh? Come on. All right. And then the Scriptures speak to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And finally, the Scriptures are the standard for doctrine. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Listen, you don't buy anything what someone just says from any pulpit. You go home and you study the Word of God and you make sure that what you're hearing lines up with God's Word. And if it doesn't, don't receive it. I don't care if it's preached from this pulpit or any other pulpit. Amen. Be like the Berean church. Study the Scriptures to make sure that what you're hearing is so. Amen. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, that preacher deceived me. God's going to say, what did you do with your Bible? Amen. He will hold the deceiving preacher accountable. But He's also going to hold you accountable for what you do with what you learn. That's revelation. We need that today. One time Jesus asked His disciples a very important question. He said, listen guys, I want to ask you this. Who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets. He says, no. That's not what I'm. Who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, I tell you who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to him and said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. See, that revelation didn't come by head knowledge. He said, but that revelation came by my Father, which is in heaven. See, he was open. God revealed the fact of who Jesus is. Why? You've got to be open to this. Friends, if you want God to speak to you, you've got to be open to God speaking you through His Word. Right? Through the people that He put in your life that are, you know, godly people. You can have God speak to you, as we said, just through the environment that you live in. God wants to speak to you. He's always speaking. Get off your high horse, those of you that say, God never speaks to me. You're not listening. Don't blame God. He's speaking. Amen. All He wants us to do is get off our horse of pride and get down on our knees and humble ourselves and say, God, here I am, Your servant. Speak to me today. Show me. Reveal Yourself to me. And I tell you, if you have a humble heart, God's going to start revealing Himself to you in ways you can't imagine. You want to talk about an exciting life? Life gets exciting then. Amen. Don't ever open your Bible and read, even if you're doing your daily readings. Don't get in there without saying, God, show me, speak to me today. Every Bible I own says in the very first page, this is God speaking to me. And I expect when I open the Bible, God speak to me today. Show me something I didn't know before I started reading. And the little things you'll appreciate, God will show you. Because God is speaking to you and desires to you. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. We're grateful for all that You're doing. God, we're grateful for opening our hearts. We're grateful that You love us so much that You want to speak to us, God. You want to show Yourself who You are to us, Father. You want to reveal Yourself to us. We need to know. God, we're hungry to want to know You. God, I want to know You more. I pray that this congregation gets hungry, God, and wants to know more of You every single day. I thank You, You're revealing Yourself that way in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Listen, if you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, which I believe everybody has, but let's just not just assume.